Welcome to an extended version of Immigrant Stories. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher. Today's guest is Alex Alvarado. I sat down with Alex in 2010 when he was a senior at Roaring Fork High School. A lot has changed since then, but at that time Alex was standing in the shadows like so many other undocumented immigrant students, and he didn't want his identity revealed. Alex came to the United States as a toddler with his five-year-old brother and his parents. His father found work in the cherry orchards in Delta, Colorado, and eventually construction work in Aspen, and the family joined the working homeless in Carbondale. Here Alex picks up the story.
I came from Mexico, and my family came for a better education for my older brother and I.
How long ago? How long is that?
15 years ago.
And how old were you then?
2 years old.
So this is the only country you've ever really known then. Do you have any memories of Mexico?
I have no memories whatsoever. My earliest memory was here in Carbondale.
And what was that? What do you remember?
My earliest memory is living in Soper's Park because we didn't have a place to live, and bathing in the little ditch that goes around there. And I remember I used to hate the water skippers because they'd always try to get in my shorts and stuff. So I'd hate those and just swat them away and stuff. So that's my earliest memory.
They were scary? You didn't really know what they were?
Yeah.
How was it for your family adapting to this new country?
It definitely wasn't easy. They didn't have a place to live, so we ended up living in Soper's Park. And then luckily a random person just picked us up off the street and let us live under her dinner table for a few months. And then that's how we got our break, I guess. So it wasn't easy.
So how long were you in Soper's Park before somebody noticed?
I think it was maybe like almost a year. But, I mean, it felt like forever, you know?
I bet.
Yeah.
So what did you use to, where did you sleep?
We had a Ford Taurus, and that's where we would sleep at night. Because my dad had work. We just didn't have enough saved up to get a place to live. So he was working with that car, and then when he'd come back, that's where we'd sleep. And
that
stuff.
Became your house?
Yeah.
Where would you cook? How did you find food?
All we ate was cereal and sandwiches, but it was just like hot dog wieners cut up. And if we ever had money to buy turkey and ham and lettuce, then that was awesome for us.
That was like a special event when you actually got actual lunch meat?
Yeah, it was like a delicacy for us.
What was the hardest part of that?
For me, a small little kid, 2-3 years old, I mean, you don't really notice. You think the park is the best place to live, you know? I can play all day, do whatever. But, I mean, it must have been tough for my parents just because I know they love my brother and I a lot. And I can't imagine seeing, having a kid and forced to live on the streets. That'd be something that's tough to go through.
What was the hardest? What do your parents talk about as far as that time? Do they even talk about it? They probably don't want too much, huh?
Yeah, I ask them from time to time, and it's the same thing. It was just tough for them seeing us not provided for to the fullest, not being able to eat correct, like what we're supposed to be eating on a daily basis, and just stuff like that.
What was life like for them in Mexico? What was it that made them leave?
My parents actually had a really good life in Mexico. They studied at a vocational school after high school, and then they got into their careers, and they had a pretty good life, but they decided to come here because they knew we would have a better life if they came here. I mean, nothing was wrong for them back home. It's just, this would be something better for us, for their kids.
So they made the sacrifice and took the chance.
Yeah, they sacrificed their almost perfect life back in Mexico for us to come home, to come to the United States, live in a park, and try to move on from there.
Do they talk about thinking about it as a mistake when they finally got here?
They just tell me they wouldn't regret it because they've seen my brother and I, our success in high school and all throughout school, really. We've been good students and we've learned a lot. And they're really glad that we know fluent English and Spanish. So they say they don't regret it.
What do you think was the toughest part for them adapting to the new culture?
I think the language, for sure. I remember when I was like 7 or 8 years old, I'd have to go with my parents to the hospital or to get their license plates for their car or something, and I would be the translator at such a young age. Like, I didn't even know what I was saying most of the time, but somehow I found the words to translate for them.
I think I've heard that story from almost every young immigrant and people who've come from all over the world. Mm-hmm. Young people have had to do that for their family. If you're just joining us, you're listening to an extended version of Immigrant Stories. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my guest today is Alex Alvarado. This interview was recorded in 2010 when Alex was a senior at Roaring Fork High School. What did that experience do for you, being the translator?
In a way, I think it helped me with my maturity level. I got to see how something that seems so simple, like a language that you grow up learning, can actually be a barrier if you're from somewhere else, in a way. And I just learned a lot from what I had to talk about. Like I said, if I didn't know something, then maybe after that I would begin to understand what I was saying. So
you would just talk and maybe not really know what was what you were saying, but it seemed to make sense to people?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Were there times when they just looked at you and stared and didn't get it at all? How did you work through that?
There was some pretty awkward moments, I think, but I just find different words to say, like simpler words. Because, I mean, I was still a little kid. I'd find simpler words that kind of went around the bush and got to the point.
Yeah, that's total immersion in a big hurry, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So what did your parents do here? What were their jobs? What was your dad's first job?
My dad came here and he worked in construction down in Aspen. And my mom, she worked in McDonald's for a while. I think it was just McDonald's, and then she started cleaning houses.
Did she have a job in Mexico, or was she stay at home?
Mom? Yeah, she had a job in Mexico. They were both bankers, and that's where they met and stuff. So,
they were both bankers.
Yeah, I mean,
like, what at what level of banking?
I'm not quite sure, but I know it's pretty high. I mean, both my parents can handle accounting and just anything, just the same as a. I would call it even with like an associate's degree in accounting or something like similar to that, because she handles all our family's like money and stuff like that. Like,
I'm still really curious that they had this life that was more middle class than working class in Mexico, but they decided mm-hmm. that they weren't going to have the opportunities for you. Do you understand that? Why they did that?
Well, I mean, it's really tough to get an education in Mexico because ever since a young age, you have to start paying for school. It's not like public schools here in America that you can go for free and get your diploma. But that really becomes a burden, I think, for a lot of families back in other countries, because if you have to keep on spending ever since they were little, and I can't imagine having to pay extra for them to go to college. So I think that they thought that coming to America would give us not only a free education, but a better education than what they would have paid for down there.
I see. So by the time you got to school, you were pretty fluent if you came at two by the...
Yeah. I remember my brother would come home from like first or second grade before I went into like preschool or kindergarten. I don't remember. But and he would just come home and he'd learn new phrases because he was like 5 years old. So he'd learn new phrases at school, and then he'd come home and teach me, and just simple stuff like hi, how are you, and what that meant in Spanish. And that's kind of how I got into learning English.
So your brother was the scout. He would go out and gather the information and bring it home?
Yeah, but he was a quick learner too. He only had ELL classes for like a few years, like 4 years. And I only had it for like the first year I was in school.
How much older is your brother?
He's 3 years older than me.
So was school pretty easy for you? Did you adjust pretty well when you first got into school?
Yeah, I felt like any other kid. I mean, just going to school, elementary school, learning the alphabet, learning how to count and do simple math, nothing really different.
But that was one of the benefits of coming when you came.
Yeah, for sure.
By the time you got to school age, you had an English proficiency.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did your brother have a struggle, or was he pretty quick to adapt?
I think he was pretty quick to adapt, too. I've never really asked him about it, but it seems like it. He never really says he had struggles or anything. So
ask him. Interview him tonight.
All right.
What was the hardest time for your parents, do you think? Was it the Soper's Park experience? Did things get better after Soper's Park?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Soper's Park part of our lives was the hardest part for them. And just from there, I mean, God's just blessed us and just been moving up.
How did you sleep in the Ford Taurus? Because it's not a big car, is it?
No. me and my brother would share the back seat, and my parents would just recline the two front seats, and that's how we would stay.
And nobody stopped. The cops didn't bother you, or nobody?
Not that I remember.
Exactly.
So.
And that was almost a year, you said?
Yeah, almost a year.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to an extended version of Immigrant Stories. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher, and my guest today is Alex Alvarado. This interview was recorded in 2010 when Alex was a senior at Roaring Fork High School. What's it like to grow up in a country that still hasn't really embraced you? Can you talk about how that feels?
I'm like sort of in a in-between stage, I think. Because I've lived here since I was 2, so I've embraced this country. And like you said, sometimes it feels like the country hasn't embraced me. But as a whole, I mean, like, maybe the government just sees me as like another statistic or something. But I look around and all my friends, everybody that I know has embraced me, and they see me just as any other American. So the local community, I feel, has embraced me. It's just the big picture that gets in the way.
I think that's a real constructive way to look at it.
Yeah.
So this is your community, and you treat it as such, and it treats you that way.
Yeah, for sure. I wouldn't trade it for anything else.
Are you a religious person? I heard you talk about God. Tell me a little bit about...
I'm Christian. I think it's Pentecostal Christian. I go to church every Sunday. I help usher at my church once a month. And I'm really involved in my youth group and stuff.
This whole debate in the United States about immigration, I mean, you definitely have an opinion. What would you tell people who have lived here and are talking about not having anybody else come, you know, those that might oppose you?
I just overall, I don't think it's correct to judge. So many people see immigration as just a bunch of people who couldn't make better for themselves in their old country, so they moved to this country. And my family has been different from that stereotype. They had a good life back home. They came here just for an education. I don't think it's correct to judge. So, I mean, immigration is going to happen, I feel, one way or another. And not just from Mexico, but from say, England or European countries, stuff like that. So,
what do you want to do with your life after college?
After college, I want to become a teacher, a history teacher, and come back to the Valley and help teach. If I decide to not do teaching, then I'll probably go into business or something.
Have you looked at immigration history much in your studies at school?
I know there was like a time when Italians were just coming to like the eastern states and everything, and people didn't like them coming, and then like the Germans and just from everywhere, like the like a lot of Japanese immigrants came, and then Pearl Harbor happened and the concentration camps in the United States. I mean, it just seems like every new group of immigration that comes, they just have to battle through. And I mean, now it seems like all the other immigrants have been accepted. It's just right now it's a lot of the Latino population that's coming to the United States.
Yes, and every group has this resistance, has met this same resistance. Mm-hmm. My family came from Ireland early on, and there was the same help wanted signs, no Irish need apply.
Yeah.
So they were burning Catholic churches in the early 1860s, because they didn't want the Catholics here.
Jeez.
Irish Catholics, but Catholics in general.
Yeah, it's crazy because, I mean, what I've been taught in history class is that a lot of people see America as a melting pot, where there's just a whole bunch of different types of people, religions, just ethnicities and stuff, and we all sort of blend into one, and that's very true. I mean, you're American, but your family's Irish. I got friends who their family is from probably like from Spain or other countries like Turkey, probably. I don't know, just from everywhere on the world.
Right. You said you want to be a history teacher. Why did specifically? What is it about history and education?
Well, education, I've taught some people. I like helping my peers in school. I don't know why, it seems natural for me to just, if I get it and my friend doesn't get it, then just why not help them out? And I really see that I enjoy teaching others about what they might not know and I know. You really get to know about what that person is like. And history, I like history because one of my teachers once said that in order to not make the same mistake, you must know what happened in the past. And that's not exactly word for word how she said it, but it just really stuck with me, because if we look back into history, we can know what others did wrong so that we can better our future.
Who are the teachers that you would model yourself after? Who are the people that reached out to you and have really helped you succeed?
I think it's probably like almost most all my teachers. They're really influential to me, just because I really see how teachers tend to see the best for a student, and when they show care like that, I mean, it's just crazy to think, like, okay, they might be there getting paid, but when they go past what they're supposed to do and just like try to help you out personally and talk to you as somebody normal, I mean, you were just pretty much put into their class for no reason. And for them to reach out to you is pretty awesome. And that's why I like most of my teachers. Like, that's why they've all been influential.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to an extended version of Immigrant Stories. I'm your host, Walter Gallagher. My guest today is Alex Alvarado. This interview was recorded in 2010 when Alex was a senior at Roaring Fork High School. Has your family gone back to Mexico? It's hard to go back, isn't it?
Because if we go back, we can't come back to the United States unless we hire a coyote or something.
Talk about that sacrifice that you have to make when you leave your country, you also leave your culture and your family.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty crazy. I can hear, like, I can talk to a lot of my friends about their families and how they go back to visit or how they visit in other states and stuff like that. And sometimes I just stay quiet because most of my family's in Mexico. I haven't met many of my uncles. I've only met like two or three, and I have like almost 30. So it's, in a way, it's saddening. Is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
It's saddening to see that I have so much family, but at the same time, I don't, just because I haven't met them. And it'd be awesome to meet all my cousins and relatives, or be able to go to my grandma's house whenever my parents aren't home and just go hang out with them. But
so you haven't met your grandmother?
I've met one of my grandmothers. I've only met her once, and the other one, I see her maybe like once every two or three years whenever she decides to come and visit us.
Yeah, that's a really hard part of this situation.
Yeah, that's why I think my parents and my brother and I are so close, just because, I mean, we're not surrounded by anybody. We're sort of isolated from everybody else.
Talk about that, how that family bond has to be strengthened because it's survival.
Yeah, I mean, we stick up for each other. If anything were to happen to my parents or to my brother, I'd definitely be there to stick up for them, no matter the consequence. I bet you there's a lot of families like that, but I feel like our bond is stronger just because I don't really feel that for my uncles or my aunts, just because I haven't really met them. I haven't gotten to know them. So it just allows me to focus on our family close by.
Can you talk a little bit about that, the fear that you live with, that someday somebody might get stopped and they won't come home?
Yeah. I've just thought, like, what would my brother and I do if, or what would I do if my parents, something were to happen to them, either they just wouldn't be around anymore. My brother could go to college where he's going and stay there, but what would happen to me? Like, who would I live with? Sure, I have a lot of friends, but it's really different when you ask them to take you in as a child. Or would I go stay with my brother? Like, would his college allow that? Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, and that's something that's always in the back of your mind, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So someday, do you have a dream of what you're going to be and where you're going to be?
Yeah.
You want to have a family?
Yeah, of course. I dream of just going away, getting my degree, an education, and ultimately coming back here to the Valley and raising a family here.
So this is it for you? This is where you want to be?
Yeah. I mean, I know families who have lived here for generations, and I just think that's really awesome how they can stay in one little town and just to see it grow. I mean, the past 15 years, this valley has grown enormously.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't imagine how it would be like after I come back and make a family.
So tell me about your folks. Describe what you love about them.
The things I love most about my parents are, there's so much, but I mean, something that's really random is how my mom can be so organized and handle so many things. I mean, a lot of people think I'm like her because I'm involved in almost everything that I can. I'm not as organized as her, but I'm definitely working on it. And that's just a characteristic that I really like about her, how she can handle so many things and still be productive. And my father, I really love his work ethic and how, I mean, I bet sometimes he just hates going to work just because it's work, but he knows he has to provide for his family. So that there's a love that you see from your parents.
So what's your plan to give back to them? What do you want to do?
Me and my brother have always planned ever since we were little of just going out into the world and making something of ourselves and then being able to come back and give our parents a nice house. That's our goal, pretty much. Give them a nice house with their own yard, their own everything.
That was Alex Alvarado. Alex was an honor student throughout his high school. He was student body president and homecoming king every year. Since high school, he's gone on to be an outstanding student at Colorado Mountain College and an advocate for immigrant students' rights. Last week, the American Immigration Lawyers Association honored him with the Liberty Award for his outstanding service to his community. In accepting the award, Alex quoted his grandfather, who always told him, "If you aren't serving your family and your community, you aren't really living your life." This has been an extended version of Immigrant Stories. To learn more about this project, please go to our website, kdnk.org.